Welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting today will be Yanis Janaeus and Scott Tanfield from FriendsOfFulham.com. This episode will be looking back at the 2-2 draw for Fulham on the road against Bolton at the Macron Stadium. We will be going through that in details once my co-hosts arrive. I look forward to going through that with them. We also have a little news that, again, just broke about an hour ago. And I'm going to share that while I wait for my co-host. Again, you might have seen me tweet this out and put it on the Facebook page, but I'm just going to share this. Again, this goes back to our guest that we've had on the show a few times, Wayne Vesey. He actually just posted something about an hour ago. So I'm going to read it again. This is just the information that that he just recently shared on his website. Again, it's entitled, Fulham are set to appoint Jokanović as their new manager. So Visa Jokanović is close to being appointed the new Fulham manager. Football Insider sources understand the Londoners are in advanced talks with Maccabi Tel Aviv about a compensation deal for Jokanović, whose team were eliminated from the Champions League last week. A senior Fulham source has told Football Insider that the club are increasingly confident that Jokanović will be their next manager. Discussions are set to take place about a deal that would take Jokanović to Craven Cottage, although the Championship club have taken the precaution of lining up Coventry manager Tony Mowbray as a backup candidate. Again, a good amount of this Wayne has already shared on the show when he was on Friday when he talked about Mowbray and also the situation with Jokanović. This is his latest update, so I just wanted to share that with everyone. It looks like one of my co-hosts is on the line. Scott, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Russ. You?
I am. Well, listen, it's been a long time. It's been too long. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, it's been a while. As I say, it's nice to be back on, but I say everyone's, well, I think, been busy, you know, with Christmas coming up and stuff like that. We've all got stuff to do. But, no, I thought I'd take the opportunity and come back on.
Listen, I cannot wait to go through this match with you because, again, one of the things I like about you, you're passionate about the team. You don't hold anything back. And you are going to be able to say whatever you need to say, my friend, in the next 60 minutes. But while we wait for Yanis, let's talk about this article that just dropped, I want to say about an hour ago, from Wayne Vesey. And let me just say this before I talk to you about this. I've had other journalists on the show. We've had Dean Jones on. I've had Simon Petra on. Recently we had Lyle Thomas on. So it's not like I'm just having Wayne on. Wayne actually just happens to have news for us, so again, I'm just sharing it with everyone, and it was timely, so that's why I've interviewed him a few times. I've actually tried to get other journalists on recently, so it just so happens that Wayne was available to come on these two times and had some information to share with us. But Scott, I want to get your thoughts about the latest that I just shared with the audience.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping it's not rebuffed information or sort of old news that we're sort of hearing. I think we're in desperate need of a head coach now, and I think it's really starting to show through the whole club that we're lacking some type of leadership or a man that can, you know, take this team by the scruff of the neck and really start moving us on. I'm hoping the rumours are true. I do like him as a head coach, and I think he possibly could be, you know, the guy that could take us to the next level. So, fingers crossed on this end.
You know, it's funny. I've gone back and forth with some of my co-hosts on this, and I want to get your thoughts on it because I really haven't talked to you about this. What's been going on with the club? Again, you have to blame the players for their part in this, but do you think that the dysfunction that we're seeing on the pitch, we're talking about, you know, again, it just seems like 11 players out there at times. I know that they're trying. I know these players care. But do you think that bringing in a new head coach can make a huge difference to what's going on the pitch?
I believe so. I mean, you look at any team around and their performances. I mean, I was watching a bit of Watford and Liverpool today.
Right.
You know, and Watford, you know, not great tactically, but you can tell they're being well drilled, they're being well organised, you know, and they've got belief that they can go out there and play football. I bet the last I see, they were 2-0 up. Do you know what it finished, Russ, at all? Or?
I believe it ended 3-0.
3-0. Well, there you go. So, you know, that's a team that kind of got up last season, you know, and still playing with the likes of Troy Deeney out front. I know there are other guys on form at the moment, but it just shows you what a good coach can do, you know? I've not been regularly lately. I will hold my hands up and say that I've been busy doing other bits and pieces, but I took the opportunity to go last Tuesday night against Ipswich, and we just seem like a club that's got no leadership at the moment. And that means that's from top to bottom at the moment, and it does have an impact, or a big impact.
Yeah, listen, you know, again, I've been a proponent of that they need one as quickly as they can nail one down. I wanted it to be the right man, Scott, but I've seen other teams, and it's funny because here you have Liverpool losing. I've even used them as the example, how much that they've changed under Klopp. You're talking about having a solid manager with Watford, and you're seeing it across the board. Look at what's going with Leicester City, you know, again. Look what they're doing. It is amazing. And I actually, you know, again, I'm one that actually believes in the players that we have, the talent that we have, that it's good enough for top six. I do. I just think that we need the right man to put them in the right positions to succeed. And we could then see some progress. And I guess that's where I stand on that, Scott. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
No, I do. I think we've got the quality there. I do believe that we still lack in a few areas.
Sure.
I still think we're sort of three, maybe four decent players short of, you know, a top six promotion chasing side. But the bottom line is we're never going to achieve anything all the time. We don't have the foundations at the club. And the way I see things at the moment is that it is, you know, like a rudderless ship. You know, things keep going completely wrong. We're getting things wrong all the time, and there just doesn't seem to be any foundations, and that needs to be sorted first. I think if we can get hold of a decent coach that can take that bunch of players by the scruff of the neck and give them something to play for, I think that's a start. The club, and I think everyone else knows now that this season is possibly a write-off, unless anything miraculously happens, which I don't think it will. You know, we're going to spend another season in this Championship, and I think we now need to start building on them foundations again.
Listen, I'm there with you. It's funny. Anything can happen. You know, can they still find a way? They would have to go on an incredible run. But I'm with you now. You know, I've resigned my fact that it's going to be a mid-table team, and that's it. It is what it is. But they need to be starting to build towards something, and that's what I think that they're missing. That's why I think having that right man in place who's going to lead this team as their head coach, manager, whatever you want to call them, I think – that's when it will truly begin. You know, until you have that man where, like you mentioned, it's a little bit of a rudderless ship. You know, I think we have talented players. Maybe you're right. Maybe we still need a few more. I'm not going to disagree with you there. But I have seen what a new manager can do and how it could stabilize, you know, a club. And I think that's what we really need right now. So let's hope, you know, again, listen, I want the viewers, listeners, Judge Wayne Stuff, any journalist that shares information with us, you know, make your own judgment. I hope he happens to be right. I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it, like you, Scott. I hope he's right because I think this would be a very good appointment. So, again, knock on wood, I actually hope Wayne is right about all of this and that hopefully the team will be making a deal with him. But only time will tell. That's, you know, and that's why I wanted to also mention that Wayne is talking about a backup plan. So, again, you know, that's something to talk about, too, with Mowbray because, again, they have to have a secondary plan. You can think of what you want about Tony Mowbray, but they need to be having something in place in case something does fall through. And let's hope, Scott, that it does not. I just wanted to update you that Giannis has been struggling a little bit to join us. He's having some internet issues. I'm going to try him now, see if we can get him on. Giannis, are you with us?
Hello. I finally made it.
Giannis, I was getting a little bit worried there. How's the weather up in Canada?
It's ridiculous up here. We've got it's 2 degrees today, but it's supposed to be 13 degrees on Christmas Eve. So we've had no snow. And our snow spell up here is about as barren as our winds at Craven Cottage. So so much for white Christmas, but that's okay. You know what? The warmer, the better.
Yeah. Listen, I'm there with you, and just so you know, I'm actually going to the Winter Classic at Gillette Stadium to see the Bruins play the Canadiens. I thought that might interest you.
Lucky bugger. That's going to be a good game. It's funny because... The Canadians right now are really struggling. I think they've lost seven of the last eight. And Boston are always a tough team. That's an original six matchup. So
that's going to be great.
Yeah, wonderful occasion for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to bore our listeners talking about hockey, but I just wanted you to know that Scott Tanfield from Friends of Fulham is on the line with us.
Hey, Scott, how you doing, mate?
I'm right, Giannis. You?
Good, mate.
Good.
Okay, great. And Giannis, we started the show talking about the article that Wayne Vesey actually just posted about an hour and 15 minutes ago. Again, it's just a little bit of an update. And I don't know if you read it yourself, but again, the title is Fulmer set to appoint Jokanović as their new manager. And again, I've already read it, but basically he's talking about he's hearing from his sources that they're hopeful. That, again, I'm paraphrasing, but that Fulmer hopeful that they can at some point appoint him as their new manager. What are your thoughts about this whole situation with Jokanović?
Well, he did a tremendous job with Watford. He's highly regarded. I mean, I suppose the one thing that all of us as fans are just wondering is that if this is going to happen, when's it going to happen? Because right now, you know, we're in a little bit of a dark state. I think most of us probably expected us to go up to the Northwest and get 3 points yesterday, and we almost didn't get one. And I suppose, you know, you had the interim coach of Grant coming in. I think right now the players look like they're devoid of confidence. I know the fans are unhappy. Fans are questioning what the owner's doing, what Mr. Rigg is doing. Is McIntosh still alive? Is Billy the Badger really the managing director? The whole thing's been a mess. And yesterday we were playing against a team who were really struggling. Having a terrible time, and yet we almost went belly up against them. So I'm hoping that if this appointment is true, it's done sooner rather than later, because we need to bring some stability, especially with the Christmas program coming up.
Absolutely, and that to me is what it's about. It's about stability. And Scott, I'm going to go to you because I did watch the replay, but I listened to it as well. And the one thing that I noticed, again, it was a match of two halves, you know, And Giannis brought up a great point. It really is. It looks like confidence. You know, it looks like, you know, believing in each other. And especially when things go down, you know, especially in that second half. The first half, they looked decent. They had several opportunities to score, and we're going to be talking about them coming up. But I just want to get your overall thoughts on the result, Scott.
I'll be honest and say that I did say a draw at the beginning, because that's only based on currently how we're playing at the moment. I mean, a draw away from home for us is normally a good result these days. But realistically, I was hoping that we would go out there and put on some performance and maybe come away with something, but that wasn't to be the case. We started off okay. You know, we broke and scored that first goal, but then obviously the bad habits come in again and we find ourselves 2-1 down, you know, and the whole thing's going pear-shaped, as you say. I mean, week in, week out, we're heavily relying on Ross McCormack to get us out of the doo-doo, as it's called.
Yeah.
And he seems to do it every single time. I mean, this guy must be sort of so frustrated at this moment in time, playing, you know, in the current side that he does. But that's what he's paid for, and that's the player that he is. So, I don't know. I mean, I was hoping to get a little bit more out of that game. I think we squandered good chances on the day. We're not clinical enough as a side. We don't have finishes in that side that can put games to bed. And that's my biggest issue at the moment.
Listen, it's a valid argument. And after watching the replay today, that's what I saw, especially in the first half. You know, again, I'm going to read it, hopefully at some point if we have some time. I want to read the comments from Stuart Gray, because I read it after the match, Scott. And at the time, I'm thinking, well, what's he talking about? He's talking about all the opportunities squandered, you know, not being clinical enough. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, what's with all the excuse-making? But after watching it back, he kind of was spot on in his reaction after the match, because it kind of matches up what he said in this reaction matches up with what I watched. And it's just, you know, yes, you know, they need to be able to score on their opportunities at a much higher clip than they are. They created several really good opportunities and couldn't convert, and that to me was really what came back to bite them in the second half. So very good by you for mentioning the squandered opportunities, because there were several of them, especially in the first half, and there were in the second half as well. Giannis, just what are your opening thoughts on the match yesterday?
I agree. A point is a point away from home, but we desperately needed to get 3 points because our confidence, you know, has been low. We didn't play badly against Ipswich, but we conceded after 1 second. And the Brentford game, we had a chance to win that, and we didn't. We've been in positions where we could have taken 3 points. Once again, the lineup was chopped and changed. You know, went back to 4-4-2. We did have the chances, we didn't finish them. But if you look at the goals they scored, I thought their first goal was a pretty good goal. I don't think Lonergan could have done much about that. But the second goal was an absolute comedy. Three defenders looking at each other. Terrible defending, and we just look a mess. We look a mess against a team who are very, very poor. We've not been able to beat the bottom teams. Charlton gave us all that we could handle, as an example, and we just, MK Dons gave us a problem. Preston gave us a problem. These are teams we should beat, or should we beat? We do need a manager that can come in at least and organise them. But right now, if you look at the predicament, you point a lot of the blame at the players, but you've also got to look at the brass.
Yep.
This has been a mess. From the moment the decision was met to fire Kit, okay, you got rid of him, fine. They didn't have I believe they had a plan A, and they obviously didn't have a plan B. Now we're at plan F, and they still don't know what's going on. It's been a mess. I mean, our friends down the road, QP Haha, at least got themselves a manager. and we don't even have that. So
yep.
I think if this report is spot on, that's good. But it's a game yesterday where we had the chances to bury them, and we didn't. And they
yep.
didn't have that many chances, but the big ones they did. And so probably 2-2 was the right result.
In the end, it probably was. And that's unfortunate because, again, it would have been completely different if they took advantage of their opportunities in the first half. I don't think Bolton would have come back. They were a different team in the second half. First 15 minutes of the second half, they were all over us. And you could feel that goal coming. Listening to it, I could feel the goal coming. Watching it back, I could feel that goal coming. So it wasn't a shock that first goal from them came. If we just got that second goal, things might have been a little bit different, but that's what's going on right now. And you guys are, like I said, you're free to criticize the team. Hell, I'm going to criticize the team because, again, it starts at the top. It goes to Mike Rigg. They've handled this situation very badly. You needed a plan. What was the plan after getting rid of Kit? You had to have all kinds of contingency plans. And it just didn't seem like they had all their ducks in a row. And now we're here, 6 or 7 weeks later, and we still don't have a manager. And that goes to Rigg. That goes to Khan. It goes to all of them. Because, again, they needed to handle this a hell of a lot better than they have. So I'm going to blame them, and I don't have any problem doing that because that's part of the problem that we're having right now. You got to blame the players, but it really is a little bit of a rudderless ship. I want to give Stuart Gray, Peter Grant, before him credit because they're doing their best, and I think Stuart Gray is going to end up being a good coach. But the team needs to know that they have the man. They need that leader, and until they have it, I think we're going to continue to see what we're seeing. All right, Scott, over to you. And I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11. There were a few changes to the lineup. What were your thoughts of the starting 11?
I mean, it was pretty much what I expected. I mean, just going back to what you were saying about Stuart Gray, I mean, he's kind of coming. He was never going to make a massive impact. I don't think he's that type. He's more of a coach than kind of
right.
a head coach. But he's making slight tweaks in that side, which you feel are kind of making a benefit to us. By moving Ream over to the left at left back, which is I feel is his personal or his more personal natural position, we're getting more out of him as a defender. I think the introduction of Heidman, O'Hara, I think statistically over the last few games, he started to drop in performances. He's not been as eager as he has been, and I think we've needed a little bit more kind of spark in that midfield, and I thought Heidman has brought that since he's been introduced, since the Ipswich game, and obviously now with, you know, we're playing against Bolton. I thought the side was quite balanced for especially playing up at Bolton, but I maybe would have liked to have seen Caney in there in the midfield, possibly. And again with McCormack, obviously Dembele up front, you're going to actually go with them too. On a whole, I thought it was quite balanced. I still think he's tweaking a little bit, but I thought it was okay, personally.
Okay, very good. And listen, you were just mentioning Jamie O'Hara, because Jamie O'Hara for me has been Fulham's player of the season so far. And then you mentioned bringing in Emerson Heidman, and I watched back his play so far, and I want to get your thoughts. Have you had a chance to check out his stats compared to, say, O'Hara's in the last few matches?
I personally haven't. Mike might be one to ask about that later. But no, I haven't. I mean, I just, from an age perspective, he brings a little bit more drive to the side. He just seems a little bit more busy. But I've just noticed watching Jamie O'Hara that his performances have dipped in the last, say, four or five games for Fulham.
Yeah. So Scott, would you have taken out Parker and put on Kearney or changed the formation? What would you have done?
It's a bit of a difficult one, really, because, I mean, looking at for what we had there, I mean, I think it's important to have some type of defensive midfielder.
Right.
Lacking at the moment. The only one sort of close to that is going to be Parker. I mean, we've struggled not having Tony Cliff since injury, I feel.
I agree.
Nothing special, but what is he? He's an engine, and he will kind of pick a ball up, but he will drop back and help the defence out. So I think Parker was the right choice. I think if you'd have put Caney in there, I think it would have left us a little bit lightweight in that middle, to be honest.
Okay, very, very good. Very, very good take there, Scott. Because, again, I think that they had to play Scott Parker for the reasons you said, and I actually heard an interview with Sakari Matilla. He hopefully will be available soon, and that would be, you know, again, that's another option available to him. He really is a defensive midfielder, and maybe he'll find his place at some point, his role, because I think that they could use him a little bit in certain situations. Giannis, over to you. What were your thoughts about the starting 11?
I wasn't so sure about it. I mean, the first thing I usually do is I won't look at the lineup, I'll look at the formation.
Okay.
And we were obviously playing with the 4-4-2, and I took a look at their lineup, right? We're away from home. I mean, with Dean playing up top with Clough behind him, I knew it was going to happen. They're going to play that 4-2-3-1 formation.
Exactly.
But if you look at the two, you've got Spearing and Prattley. Now, they're decent players. And one thing I'll say about Bolton Wanderers, on paper, they're a pretty decent side. They've got some good players there. But Spearing and Prattley are not exactly blessed with the sort of pace that you're going to need. So the first thing I thought is I looked at Parker and thought, could we have brought Pringle in there? Give us a little bit more speed. If you're going to play that 4-4-2, and I didn't necessarily want to see that. Garber, the left side of midfield, to me is a question mark. I'm glad to see that Kaká is getting a good run. Byrne, I like to see him in the lineup, but man, he's getting so much stick from the fans right now. I don't know what sort of his confidence is pretty low at the moment. I agree with Stuart about Ream playing at left back, but then, you know, the question that mark becomes Garber and what you do with him. It looked a little bit like a defensive lineup, and it looked a little disjointed. And if you looked at the subs bench, you know, we got players like Kearney and Pringle and Matt Smith, Hiram Woodruff, very, very strong looking bench. And you're just wondering if maybe this might have been the game up front where you give Matt Smith a go. You know, on it's a greasy surface. It's a heavy field.
It was pouring rain.
Yeah, it's pouring with rain, and the conditions aren't exactly great. And is this the game where maybe you give Matt Smith, instead of getting him off the bench, say, okay, give us 60 minutes, see if you can soften up that back four, Prince and Wheat, again, not the quickest centre-backs you'll ever see, and then maybe bring Musa off the bench for the last 20, 25, 30 and see what you can do. But I think it's, I mean, the little tweak's fine, but it's another example of really, does anybody really know what's going on? Because week to week, it just seems to change. The only constants seem to be Dembele and Mac up front. Oh, and one more thing, Jazz Richards at right back.
I was waiting for that.
I mean, it really defies belief. I mean, maybe I'm on the cheap drugs. you know, maybe I'm going to get bricks thrown on my head, but I'm still trying to get somebody to explain to me why on earth he's in that lineup. I just don't know. And he does nothing. But anyways, I mean, you know, it was an okay lineup. I might have made a couple of changes, but it was a bit defensive. I think Stuart Gray showed a little bit too much respect to Bolton. Not that they're a bad
Bolton
side, though.
Yeah.
But I made a couple of changes. But I wouldn't have started Parker just because it's the weather was miserable, the field was heavy, the conditions were poor. He's 35, lots of mileage. So.
Okay, very good. And Scott, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I was just saying I'm with Yanis on the Richard situation. For the life of me, when he was on loan with us, and since we signed him permanently, I'm going to get myself racked for this, but he's just a terrible player.
Yeah,
he's below average, but every manager that seems to come in seems to pick him. And I thought again with Bolton's goal, the one where they bundled it sort of over the line from 2 yards out. You know, he was wrongly positioned again, rather than being in front of his man to try and maybe. You know, he's all cashing up with players. He just seems to go on a wander. I just don't get it.
Well, let me ask both of you. I'm sorry, Yanis. I'll go right back to you because I posed this to Mike Gregg on Friday, so I'm curious your thoughts because I wanted to get feedback on the right back position because, Yanis, I know how you feel about Jazz Richardson. Obviously, Scott, you made that well known. Well, now you have Jack Rimmer back in the mix. He should be ready to go at some point. He's getting closer. And, of course, you have Ryan Frederick. So I'm going to ask you, Scott, if you're in charge, who's your right back?
If I'm honest, I think looking at what Grimm has done, I think he could be the future. Is he really ready yet? I don't think he is. I still think he's got to mature a little bit for that position, maybe sort of wedged into that side a bit more. I'm not a Jazz Richards lover at all. So for me, it would have to be Fredericks because we've got no other options, to be honest.
Okay, very good. Yanis, your thoughts on that?
Well, I understand that Dover Athletic are looking for a right back. Their right back got injured yesterday. So I'd take a couple of Scotch eggs for Jazz Richards. I mean either or. I mean, Fredericks is just going to give you pace and he's fun to watch. You know that I've always been a Grimmer fan, Russ. I mean, I've gone on about him. Last year, I thought he got well and truly screwed by this club. And I'm delighted he's near the fitness, and I'd rather put him in. Let's blood the young players. You know, it's one of those, isn't it funny that, you know, you look back in the history of football, sometimes you look at players that won FA Cups or World Cups and go, how the hell did they? And then you look at players like, I don't know, Ryan Giggs, George Best, Eusebio, probably Cristiano Ronaldo is going to be the same, great players that never got the chance to win the big one. And Richards is one of those players who's going to get the chance to go to the European Championships. And really, he should be lucky to make the Luxembourg team. And yet, he's Welsh, and he's going to be there. And so I just scratch my head, and I scratch my head that he's playing in the Championship. To me, he's a League One at best. And I know I'm going to get a stick for this. I just don't see it. So, if any Dover Athletic fans are out there, send an email, care of Stuart Gray, and we'll have him. We'll take him on loan. We won't even pay you. I'd go down and give Jazz the ticket. So there you go, mate. Come on, that cost you 10 quid.
Oh, Yanis, you cracked me up, my friend. You are wonderful. You're wonderful. All right, guys. I just jotted down a couple on each half of just some key moments to go through with you guys. And Yanis, I'll start with you. Again, the first half was just a lot of back and forth to begin with for the majority of it. And Fulham got themselves in a good situation, and you have to give Ross McCormack a good amount of credit here because in the 28th minute he took advantage of the opportunity that was given to him by the Bolton defender, and he set up a strike from Luke Garbutt to give Fulham the lead 1-0. Talk about the goal by Luke Garbutt.
I'm nodding my head on this one because where the hell would we be without Ross? If you look at his record for us and Leeds United in the last two seasons, let's be honest, he really shouldn't be playing in the Championship. And the goals he's been scoring recently from free kicks are just worldies. There was another one yesterday. He saved our asses again. He's a quality player. That goal he set up was brilliant because he's taken the ball off the defender and it's a back flick to Garbutt. Garbutt, by the way, that was a tremendous finish. It really was. But Ross is just absolute class. You take him out of our lineup, and we now look, we look poor. I mean, I mean the Ipswich game. You know, we've never been in it, and then he scored another worldie from 30 yards out. These free kicks are just going in from left, right, and centre, and it was a lovely goal. And you would have thought that from there, you know, 28 minutes in, we're going to kick on. We just never did.
No, I hear you, Giannis, and that to me is what's bothersome about this match, because again, you have this goal, you're up 1-0, and to Fulham's credit, the rest of the half until the very end, when Bolton actually had a few corners, they started to come alive. At the very end of the first half, Fulham really had more than a few opportunities. And Scott, I'm just going to go through them with you, because I want to get your thoughts on this, because potentially I think this is where Fulham did not get the victories, because of these opportunities and one in the second half. But I'm looking at these and thinking, if they score one here, I think it's a completely different match. You have in the 33rd minute, Kaká almost made it 2-0, but a shot hit the crossbar. This was set up nicely by Emerson Hyman. 2 minutes later, Moussa Dembélé had a wonderful opportunity, and unfortunately his shot went over. But he was basically one-on-one with the goalkeeper, with a defender with him, but I think he should have done better. And then a little later on, you had a corner taken by Luke Garbrandt, and again, Moussa Dembélé had a header, another really good opportunity. So I'm going to ask you, is this the part of the match where Fulham should have really taken control? And this is what you're talking about and what Stuart Gray is talking about, missed opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, You tend to look at games, and we play other teams, like, you know, sort of like prime example, Bolton the weekend, Ipswich on Tuesday. You know, when these sides get opportunities, they take them and they punish you. You know, I don't know whether this is just me sort of, you know, being a Fulham fan, and I look into it a bit too much, but when the shoe's on the other foot with us, it just seems that we never seem to take these opportunities. I mean, unless, you know, McCormack is scoring from unreal free kicks, or, you know, he takes chances like yesterday, you know, the opportunity like Kakanitlich, you know, how many times have we seen that from him? One-on-ones where he's, you know, he's kind of blasted at the goalkeeper rather than sort of, you know, picking a spot and scoring. We just seem to fluff opportunities like this, which, you know, could win us games. And you know, and the biggest question is, we're not winning games. I think, you know, we need to be a lot more clinical in front of goal. Like Giannis was saying, I mean, where would we be without Ross McCormack? We would probably be in the bottom three. We probably would have been relegated last season.
Go ahead, Scott.
No, sorry, I'm just saying, how long is this guy going to continue doing it before he gets completely peed off and he wants to move? You know.
Well, listen, it's a valid point, because I was thinking the same thing. He's done this so many times, and he's got to be asking himself, what is he in for? You know, again, because this is what's going on. That's why I think it's very important that they get the new man in it, because I'm actually thinking about Ross McCormack, because Fulham need to do whatever they can to hold on to him. And because look at what they would be without him. And very good point by you, Scott, for bringing that up. All right, Giannis, let's now transition over to the second half, because At this point, you know, again, Fulham going to the half up 1-0, and Bolton came out very strong, extremely strong. For the first 15 minutes, they were in complete control. But again, I'm just talking about lost opportunities. I'm going to give you one, because I think this goes along with the ones I just talked about. In the 60th minute, Fulham should have doubled their lead once again. It's Kaká one-on-one with the goalkeeper. He should have done better here, Giannis. What are your thoughts about this missed opportunity by Kaká?
Yeah, I do, and I think he'd like to have that one back. But although I'm going to give Ben Amos some credit there, because when as he came out, he made himself nice and big, and it was a good save. I think actually more significant was the Dembélé miss in the first half, because Dembélé actually slipped. He slid into the shot, and he should have stayed upright. That, and if you look at Amos's position there, he gave him the gap. That to me was a far worse miss. I was thinking, when Gentleman Jim was saying, you know, oh, we should have had that, it didn't open up, I thought, we're not gonna get this. We go 2-0 up, then it's game over. Kaká should have scored, but the keeper's done well. But Kaká's had a good game, I mean, and I'm delighted he's back in the lineup, and not before bloody time as well. So he's gonna you know, Gray's going to lament the chances as well. But again, if you keep a clean sheet, you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose any games. And the goals that we conceded, again, Gray's got to go back in the training field, and especially that second one, and say, okay, we really need to tighten the ship up here. You're going to have games where you create lots of chances and you're just not going to score. And as I said, Kaká would hope he would have that one back, but wasn't to be.
Okay, very good. And Giannis, I'm going to go right back to you because I want to give Scott the second goal because I know he has some thoughts about the second goal. So I'm going to go right back to you. Let's talk about, because shortly after this missed opportunity, they equalize again. They get the goal this time. Well, they get both of these goals, but the first goal, again, taken by Zach Clough. I believe it was set up by Mark Davis, but again, well taken. So right afterwards, they get the equalizer. What are your thoughts when you saw this go in?
My first thought was that Lonergan looked like he saw it a little late, but it was a good finish. It's got in the bottom right-hand corner. Davis has set it up. And what I like about what Clough did is he took advantage of the conditions as well, because it really skated across the grass. It went very quickly. It didn't give Lonergan much chance. And let's be honest, you know, they had a lot of the possession at the start of the second half. They were asking a lot of questions, and they were putting us under the cosh. It was just, I thought, a matter of time before they got back into it. They got the crowd back into it. And you know, credit to Zach Clough. It was a really well-taken goal. They deservedly tied things up.
They did. You know, listen, I have to give them credit because they were the better team in the second half, especially in the early stages. And like I mentioned, I felt that goal was coming. We had that opportunity right before that that might have changed things. But again, they score that goal. Now we're level at 1-1. And Scott, I'm going to give you the honors because in the 74th minute, Clough gave him the lead. I'm at a loss for words, so I'll let you describe this second goal by Bolton because I think the defending on this was inexcusable.
Yeah, and we seem to get caught by this every single time, Russ. And it's become more than frustrating now. It's kind of like you tend to expect it every single game. Whenever there's a dead ball situation or whether there's kind of something coming from a wide position. And again, we got done on the break from the Kaká miss. And again, from inside that 6-yard box, I mean, how many times do we give up goals where they're so deep within our area? It's unbelievable. And as I said to you, I didn't watch the 90 minutes. I watched the highlights again, and I followed the game on Friends of Fulham. But again, I mean, it's bundled over the line from sort of 2 yards out. I mean, as a goalkeeper, I mean, should you be commanding your 6-yard box a lot more than you do with balls coming across like that? And again, Jazz Richards completely behind his man. You know, guy throws his body at the ball, and there you go. It's 2-1. Frustrating again.
Absolutely. You know, I watched this a few times and just got irritated. That's why even bringing it up was upsetting because, again, it's how many times have we seen situations like this and that are preventable, and this, to me, was a preventable goal that they gave up. All right, Giannis, I'm going to give you the honors because, like you guys have both said, without Ross McCormack, last 2 years, I think Fulham are in serious trouble. You know, you could think about how he is, you know, sometimes, you know, he can be very animated on the pitch, but he can deliver. And here is, again, just a perfect chance, and he definitely delivers. Talk about his goal in the 85th minute from a free kick.
It's a worldie, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an absolute worldie, yeah. No, it's like, it's, you know, when you're in that vein of form, it doesn't really matter what you do. You step up to a free kick, and you know the result before you've even stepped up. It's a brilliant goal. I mean, he's just playing so well right now. And I know a lot of Fulham fans are a little nervous because we've got the transfer deadline coming up, and you know he's got another 4.5 years left on his contract. Are we going to keep him? Are we not? I think we will keep him. But right now, you know, he's playing so well. He's very much on top of his game. And you got to feel a little bit sorry for him because, you know, we're one of the top goal scorers in the league, and yet we couldn't, you know, defensively we're terrible. And it's not like our goalkeeping's been bad. Our goalkeeping's actually been decent, and that's the worst thing about it. I mean, you can't even point to that. So Ross has done a tremendous job. I didn't like the way he started the season. I thought he looked a little overweight and slow. He looked a little bit disinterested and he looked off the pace. But I've got to say the last 6-7 games he's been outstanding. And the first goal was a superb setup for Garber, but the second goal, well, that speaks for itself. The goals he scored in recent weeks have been superb. And he's playing very, very well. And you're right, without him, we'd be in deep doo-doo right now.
Totally. And, again, it's so funny because here we are, we're talking about the goal. And on the Fulham website, the three names that they gave as their potential man of the match that people were voting on was Luke Garbutt, Dan Byrne, and Ross McCormack. And, it's funny, talking to you guys, I could see why so many fans would pick Ross McCormack, especially in this game, because Ross McCormack really, again, even at the end of the game, guys, this is what's interesting. He had a great opportunity to score. It hit the crossbar in stoppage time, and if that goes in, Fulham find a way to get a victory. It wasn't to be, it's good effort in this match by Ross McCormack. And kudos to you, Giannis, for talking about the beginning of the season, because the beginning of the season, I agree with you. I think there were issues there, but he's come on like gangbusters, and that's a good sign for the rest of the season. Let's just hope everyone else raises their game to what he's doing right now, because what he's doing right now has been real good. All right, guys, what I'm going to do now is I am going to go through the stats and get your thoughts on it. We're going to end the show. We're going to do things a little bit differently. Just for time's sake, we're not going to rate the players, just for time's sake. But Giannis brought up a good point, that it's something that I do want to get your thoughts on after we go through the stats and finish up talking about the match. I want to get both of your thoughts on Jimmy Hill. Definitely want to talk about that to end the show. I think that's something that we should really talk about. Okay. All right, let's go through the stats again. Let's start here. Let's talk about possession. Bolton had 51.9%, the Fulham having 48.1%. Total shots were edged by Bolton, 16-13 on target. We edged it at 4-3. Total passes, they edged it a little bit more, 424-411. Passing accuracy, Bolton were at 72%, Fulham were at 70%. Attacking passes, Bolton were at 324, Fulham were at 232. So you're talking about 90 more attacking passes. Key passes, they edged it 12-10. Crosses, 30-12 in favor of Bolton. Crossing accuracy, 20-17% in favor of Bolton. Fouls were even at 9. Corners were even at 5. Duels won. Bolton had 59. Fulham had 56. Aerial duels won. Bolton had 31. Fulham had 27. Interceptions were even at 17. Interceptions inside the box, Bolton had 4 and Fulham had 2. All right, Scott, I'm going to start with you. What stands out to you with the stats I just shared?
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Russ. I'm not really a statistic person.
Okay.
I mean, based on them statistics, I mean, it kind of shows us that Bolton probably edged this a little bit more than what we did. But I think on the day, I think we have more kind of opportunities to kind of put this game to bed and maybe, do something with it. But because we weren't clinical enough, we never did. Bolton, as we know, in a bit of a poor situation at the moment and obviously didn't capitalise on that. So, that's my take on it anyway.
Okay, very good. Giannis, over to you on the statistics from this match.
I think it was pretty even, to be honest with us. Looks like you look at all those stats there and look fairly balanced. And sometimes it's not often, actually, you're going to have games where you have the stats are going to be that balanced where you say, well, maybe the draw was the right result. But I think that was one of them. So and we had, 48% of possession. Usually we do a little bit better than that. But having said that, it bears the fact that it were two fairly evenly matched teams and that the draw was probably the right result.
Okay, very good, Giannis. Very good. All right. Let's give a man of the match. Are you guys both comfortable with giving a man of the match?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Giannis, who was your man of the match?
Ross.
I had a feeling it would be Ross McCormack.
Really. He's, Ross.
Okay. Scott?
I think it's going to go to Jazz Richards. I mean, he's... Ross McCormack.
Okay. Very good. Very good, guys. All right. Giannis, did you have a chance to watch the replay?
Yes, I did, the whole game.
Okay. Did you want to rate the players?
I don't think it was overall a bad performance. I thought Hyman had a decent game. I thought Kaká showed us lots of energy. I could have seen a little bit more from Dembele. That chance is still grating. Lonergan, a couple of good saves. I mean, nobody really stood out, but I mean, it was a humdrum kind of performance. But Ross really stood out. I mean, forget the goal and the goal he set up. It's just his tremendous work rate yesterday. Really, I mean, set the example for the rest of the lads.
Okay, very good. Okay, not a problem. Okay, guys. Before we finish up the show, because I definitely want to talk about Jimmy Hill, I want to talk about Stuart Gray. Again, he's in a tough spot. He's a senior coach. But I want to read to you his reaction after the match and then get your thoughts on his reaction and also the job that he did. So I'm just going to read this to you. It's not that long. Again, this is on the Fulham website, Gray's reaction. Again, these are quotes from Stuart Gray. Quote, "I'm sat here and can't believe we only got 1 point from the game," our senior coach said. "To go only 1-0 up at the half, I said to the players that we hadn't been clinical enough. We need to be more ruthless. And it was the same again in the second half. We had a great opportunity to make it 2-0, and suddenly it bites you and they get back in the game. Then they go 2-1 up, and you're wondering, it's just one of those days. Then we're all relying on Ross McCormack again to hit a worldie. With the amount of chances we created, I should be talking to you about 3 points and the good away win at Bolton today. I don't think I've been in a game where there's been so many one-on-ones with a goalkeeper. We've missed the target and we've hit the woodwork twice, but I've been in the game long enough to know that you need to convert your chances. At times we move the ball very well and cause Bolton problems, but you know they're going to have a 10-minute period in the game, and that 10-minute period is what got their noses in front because of us not being ruthless enough in front of goal." He continued, "We're coming up in the festive period where we want to be getting points and threes. We put in an excellent display today. We've created a number of chances, but it's 2 points thrown away today. But heads could have dropped, and we could easily have lost the game. So credit to the players. They stuck at it. Even at the death, we had a couple of chances to win the game." All right, Giannis, over to you. What are your thoughts about the reaction from Stuart Gray after the match and his job as senior head coach or senior coach in this match?
Well, he's in a difficult position because I mean he does know he's basically to all intents and purposes he's a caretaker. He's right about the chances that were missed. You know, but he is a coach, I mean no disrespect by that. He's been put in a difficult position, so I know he's doing his very, very best. You know, it is what it is. I mean, the fans saw it. We had chances to have buried them. We didn't. We let, one good goal, one soft goal. He's got to get him back on the training field. We've got, I think, Derby County next. Of course, we may have the appointment coming up this week. We'll see. And Maccabi Tel Aviv have a game tomorrow night, a big game. But it's about all he really can say. It's not like he can start being a visionary and talking about long-term plans because he knows he might only be in the job for another week or two.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. All right, Scott, over to you. What were your thoughts about the comments from Stuart Gray and just the job he did yesterday?
Yeah, very much what Giannis said, to be honest. I mean, he basically said what we all thought, I think, from the game. You know, he's never going to set the world alight, but I feel as a kind of a coach, you know, he tells it as it is. Like Giannis is saying, I mean, you know, he's not going to be there for the long term. He's holding the fort for a couple of games, so you know he's going to go through the motions of telling things how it is, to be honest. And I think he's done exactly that. So I'm happy with what he's doing. He seems to be doing what he's brought in to do. You know, until things improve, then obviously, you know, that will happen. So.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, guys. All right, let's end the show by talking about the passing of Jimmy Hill. This is very sad, and it happened early over here, which is probably midday for you guys. Well, I'm sorry, for you, Scott, and then Giannis, you probably heard about it at the same time.
Yep.
For me. So I'll start with you. What are your thoughts about the passing of Jimmy Hill, and feel free to share whatever you want to share about him.
Well, we lost Johnny Haynes 10 years ago in October, and we can all agree that Johnny Haynes was our greatest ever player. But I'm gonna be honest with you. This, Jimmy Hill's death has hit me far, far worse for me, for many reasons. I mean, he played a number of seasons for our club. He scored a number of goals. I mean, this is a guy who, I mean, Johnny Haynes was famous for what he did on the field and a little bit off with charity work. But let me list some of the stuff that Jimmy Hill was known for. He got rid of the maximum wage. I mean, Johnny Haynes was the first £100-a-week player in England. You look at all the Premier League players and all the money that's tossed around, there had to be a root cause, and it was Jimmy Hill. Jimmy Hill really was a fighter for the player. He felt that owners were exploiting players, especially at a time when, you know, attendances were 40, 50, 60,000 a game. He was the first one to commission the first English all-seater stadium. If we remember what happened at Bradford City, the Valley Parade disaster, and what happened there in the terraces when 52 people lost their lives. The ban on media interviews so that fans on TV could see the reactions of coaches and managers up before and after games. The electronic scoreboard, way back 1964, he was instrumental. The first colour match day program he was behind. And he played a big part, the year I was born, 65, the first live match on CCTV with a club where he's got a statue out front, outside Coventry City. He was behind the 3 points for a win that came, I think it was in 81. He was part of the panel that introduced in the 1970 World Cup football pundits. Bigger than that, 1987, I was a season ticket holder with my father. And back then, Fulham were an absolute mess. It looked like we were going to go under. We were talking about mergers of the QPR. And Jimmy Hill was the man that came in and helped to save us. And so, you know, it's not just the career he had with our club. It's what he was as a visionary and what he means, he really did mean to the whole of football. Let's not forget he was also obviously a very famous presenter on Match of the Day back in England. Yeah. And if you look around on Facebook fans, there are groups, there are very few fans from around Britain who are not mourning his loss, because everybody knows who Jimmy Hill is, whether he was a pundit or that big chin of his. And I have to tell you, I'm very sad about this. I think it's a huge, huge loss. And I know that his wife and his former wife were fighting for years about his estate as he got more and more ill through Alzheimer's. And somebody on Facebook did something really nice earlier today and said that the new stand should be named in his honour, and I couldn't agree more. And actually, as we show, I'm setting up a memorial page for Jimmy Hill. I'm going to invite all the fans from the Facebook groups, and the Russ, please feel free to invite everybody on, just to give their memories of Jimmy Hill, and see if we can start a movement you know, involve Sarah and the powers that be to get the message to the club that we really need to recognise this man in our club for what he did for us, what he did for football. See if we can get that stand named after him. See if we can get a statue. He really was a legend. He left a massive, massive legacy for the game of football, and he really will be sorely missed.
Wow, Giannis, thank you so much for sharing all that. Fantastic. You know, again, Fulham legend. You know, you really went into great detail on that. So I'm glad that you were able to share all that. And I, you know, I second what you said about the stand. I agree with you. This is someone that deserves a stand named after him. All right, Scott, over to you. What are your thoughts of the passing of Jimmy Hill?
Yeah, very sad time. I think Giannis has kind of hit the nail on the head there in regards to what he said. I mean, I wasn't fortunate enough to see him play as a player, but in the dark sort of days, the end of the 80s, early 90s, he was always around Fulham Football Club. When my dad was heavily involved, obviously the Riversiders, and he done his bit. Obviously, you know, we all, not me personally, I was too young at the time, we all helped to put in to save the club, and Jimmy Hill was always the first one there with a bucket collecting money, and he was quite ruthless in what he'd done. He was a big picture of my kind of youth around Fulham, always a face that you would see in and outside the ground, and football was his life, and he was part of Fulham Football Club. I even wrote to him once, and as a youngster, I put together this this letter, and I can't remember what it was to this day, but a couple of days later, it wasn't a couple of weeks, it was a couple of days later, I had a handwritten letter back, with a signed programme with his famous signature at the bottom. None of this corporate rubbish that you get this day, something that's written by somebody from the office. This was Jimmy Hill that actually sat down and personally wrote this letter back to me. Of great word, and you don't get that in football anymore. And like Yanis is saying, he is a massive loss. And I've seen the same on Facebook, Twitter, not just Fulham fans, but other fans from other clubs. We've all put statuses up. There hasn't been a bad word about him, and he's always recognised for what he's done. Whether his involvement with Fulham or Coventry or as a pundit on the TV, it's a great loss. It is a great loss.
It is a great loss, guys, and I'm glad that we could, finish up the show talking about a great person, and you guys did a great job sharing your thoughts on him. All right, guys, we've got about 3 minutes left, so final thoughts. First over to you, Yanis. Any final thoughts before we leave?
It's going to be. I know this is going to sound a bit odd, and I won't apologize for this, but it just occurred to what I've just said recently. To me, the result this weekend is actually secondary to Jimmy Hill's passing. I mean, I think that tells you everything you need to know. I think if we'd won, lost, or draw, I think it pales into insignificance. I mean, even when he was alive, as a fan, I knew what he'd done for us and what he'd done for the game of football. And when you hear famous personalities die, he was be sorely missed and blah, blah, blah. But he's one of the few greats in football that left such a legacy for all of us, regardless of who you support. That his passing is really it's the end of a bygone age, and it does make you reflect. So, when I say that I'm very sad this weekend about his passing, I truly am. It's been a sobering weekend personally, and may he rest in peace.
Okay, absolutely. Rest in peace, Jimmy Hill. Okay, Scott, over to you. Final thoughts. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Yep, same here. I think his passing's overshadowed the result. Same whether we won, lost, or drawn. I'm just hoping that the club do something for him. That kind of remembers him for what he'd done for the club, I'm just hoping we're going to see that, whether it's sort of renaming the stand or doing something before a game at least, So
I totally agree. I agree with both of you. In fact, we can talk about it and we can promote what Yanis wants to do, because I'm with you guys on that. You got to remember your legends, and this is a legend, and he should be honored. And I'm right there with you guys. All right. Right before we go, I do want to mention this, and Scott, you know this. Listen, please come back soon, because I enjoy having you on. You were fantastic today. But I want to just tell everyone knows about your website, friendsoffulham.com. I'm just going to say that I go to your website all the time. It is a wonderful website, and it deserves praise. So before we go, I wanted to make sure I said that to you, my friend. You're doing an excellent job with friendsoffulham.com.
No, cheers, Russ, and obviously the people behind it as well. Some of the ones we don't see half the time put in a lot of work to keep it where it is. So,
it's a fantastic.
No, listen, everyone that's behind Friends of Fulham, obviously yourself and everyone else behind the scenes, you do an excellent job. So, I really wanted to make sure before we ended the show that I said that.
Yeah,
all right,
fantastic job. It's a wonderful website. Thank you very much. Wonderful.
No, really, Scott, you should be commended, and everyone that handles that website, you deserve that. You deserve praise. All right. But listen, I need to wrap up the show, and really, seriously, a great show, sobering, obviously, talking about Jimmy Hill, but you guys were both excellent today. For Scott Tanfield and Yanis Janaeus, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers.
Thanks,
guys.
Enjoy your Sunday. Bye.
Bye. See you guys.
Take care, Scott. Okay.
Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London car.